Jesus not only died for Jacob, he died for all the people of the world. No discrimination. We're going to talk a little bit about discrimination today. We all have discriminations in our heart. We all have prejudices in our heart. That's an evil sin. But if you're honest with yourself, you do have prejudices against certain things. So we want to see this morning, continuing on in the lesson in 2 Corinthians, how we are to look at the lost, knowing the lost. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14 through chapter 6, verse 1, as we've been talking each Sunday that I've spoken, we've talked about a minister, God's servants, his ministers. And he starts off with what we are, what we are being. We are the aroma of Christ. We are being transformed into his image. And then he talks about what we have in chapter 4. We have this ministry. Even if we receive mercy, we faint not. We have this treasure and earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of man. We have the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. And that brings us to chapter 5. Chapter 5 is governed by the verb knowing. Knowing, verse 1. If the tabernacle of this house be dissolved, we have a building made with God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And verily we long to be clothed upon by that habitation. He says in verse 6, being confident and knowing that while we're at home in the flesh, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to depart from the flesh that we may be home with the Lord. And whether we're at home or absent, we make it our aim to be pleasing unto the Lord. That is knowing. That's knowing ourselves and our relation with God. In verses 11 through 15, he speaks of knowing Christ. That's what we talked about the last time I spoke. He says in verse 11, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. In verse 14, the love of Christ constrains us, for we thus judge that one died for all. Therefore, all died. And he died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. And that brings us to our subject today. Verse 16 and 17 is knowing the lost. He says, henceforth, wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ after the flesh, we know him so no longer. If any man's in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. I want us to think on the word all. Simple word, A-L-L, all. The passage that Daniel wrote in read in Isaiah. God made Jesus a servant, not only to Jacob and Israel, but to all the Gentiles. He came to die for all. And in dying for all, that makes men all equal. As you've heard before, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. All men are sinners. We're all equal. Jesus came. Verse 14. The love of Christ constrains us. For we thus judge that he died for all. No discrimination of anybody, of anything. He died for all. Jesus' whole life, Jesus didn't just die on the cross. Jesus laid down his life from the time he left heaven and was born of a virgin. From the time he came forth, his total life was given in a sacrifice for people. No distinctions. From the very first, after his baptism, we see first thing in John 2, he goes to a marriage feast. They run out of wine. His mother comes to him and he says, "What do we have to do with you? For my hour is not yet come." Making wine for a feast is not Jesus' business. It's the business of the host. But because this makes the host in such an embarrassing situation, Jesus' compassion given to that man, he makes wine. In John 8, there's a woman brought to him. Then they bring him, the Pharisees bring him to try Jesus. He said she was taken in adultery, in the very act of adultery. What do you do? The law says, stone her. That's a simple thing. Jesus answered, Jesus, a law-abiding man. He says, stone her. But Jesus sees more than a sinner. As Scott said this morning, Jesus saw the value in an adulteress, and he forgave her sins. And every time Jesus forgave somebody's sins, he knew the cost of forgiving sins. Every time he says, "Your sins are forgiven," he could hear the hammer hitting the nails on his hands. He came for people. He meets a man in Luke 19, Zacchaeus, up a tree. He's a publican. He's a tax collector. He's hated of the Jews. He's considered a traitor and a robber. He's an outcast. He's a sinner. And nobody has anything to do with publicans. They're tax collectors. They're Jews eating the Jews' money to give to the Romans. Hated people. Jesus not only spoke to this man, he gives him honor. He calls him down out of the tree and said, "I'm going to dwell with you today." The man is so impressed with the kindness of our Lord Jesus, he says, "The half of all I have, I'll give to the poor. And if I've done anybody wrong, I'll restore it fourfold." Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Heard of the days hung on a tree, nails pounding his hands and his feet, hung up there with a crown of thorns crammed down on his head, miserable beyond any miserable we can even think of, and his thoughts is for people. The murderers that murdered him, he says, "Father, forgive them." No discrimination. Thief on the cross. He even admits he's deserving what he gets. Jesus says, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus came for people. Isaiah 57, the suffering servant, the whole chapter. Jesus fulfilled that, not only at the cross, but every step of his life. That's the way Jesus lived, and that's the way Jesus died. One died for all. Therefore, all died. Verse 16, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, our text today. Wherefore, We henceforth know no man after the flesh. Our world has a history from creation to now of discriminating against certain people. Discrimination has been a cancer for us, for the human race, from creation. 750 years BC, beside the city of Nineveh of Assyria, sits a sulking prophet. And he looks on Nineveh and he says, "What a loathsome place. These filthy, ungodly Gentiles, kill them. God, you said 40 days you're going to destroy them. Destroy them. They're not fit to live." That wasn't just 750 years before. Christ is still alive today. Antioch, Syria, about 40 AD. A man named Simon Peter goes from Jerusalem down to Antioch to see the brethren there. Most of them probably Gentiles, filthy, dirty Gentiles in the sight of the Jews. And Peter goes down there and he eats with these filthy Gentiles until friendly Jews, or his friends, the Jews, come down from Jerusalem, from James. And he withdraws from those dirty Gentiles, and he takes his own working people with him so much that Barnabas entered into the hypocrisy of discrimination. Lest he offend the Jews. Till Paul stood straight to him. Paul, the persecutor of Christians, publicly, strongly spoke against his discrimination. In Judea, two men come to a meeting place of Christians. One of them in nice, clean clothes, a rich man. He has everything going for him, a person proud to have in the midst of us. And with him comes a poor, poorly, shoddy, dressed, dirty man. And while we quickly take this rich man up to the place of prominence and set him into the best seat, somebody else has to deal with this embarrassment. Maybe he came to the wrong place. Send him down the road someplace else. And if he doesn't want to go, at least give him a place nobody sees him. Discrimination. 2016, nothing's improved. Discrimination is still amongst us. Discrimination is really indiscriminate. It's a universal sin of both religious and non-religious, of the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the educated, the uneducated. It's among every creed and every caste. It's a huge boil right on the face of unregenerate mankind. It's a cancer. Cancer that eats the heart out of religion. It threatens true discipleship. And it makes a mockery of ministry. And what does God say? Wherefore we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Even though we had known Jesus after the flesh. Paul knew Jesus according to the flesh before he saw Jesus. Paul's view of mankind before he met Jesus was just like all those Jews, discriminate against anybody that wasn't a Jew. In Acts 7, when they're stoning Stephen, when you get to their stoning, the chapter 7, verse 58, we see the witnesses laid their clothes their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Chapter 8, 1, and Saul was consenting to this death. And there arose a great persecution of the church in Jerusalem. That's not enough for Paul. In chapter 9, it says, "And Paul, yet threatening and slaughtering, persecuting the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and he asked of the priest letters to go unto Damascus and to the synagogues, if he found anybody there of the way, whether man or woman, he might take them bound to Jerusalem." Discrimination. When Paul stands before Agrippa in chapter 26, he speaks of his terrible, indiscriminate discrimination. He said in probably where about verse 9. He says, "I verily thought that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this I did in Jerusalem. And I shut up many of them in prison, having received authority of the high priest. And when they were killed, I gave my vote against them. And I punished them oft times in all the synagogues. And I strove to make them blaspheme. And I was mad, greatly mad against them, so that I persecuted them even in the foreign cities." He hadn't seen Jesus, but something happened to Paul in chapter 9 of Acts on his way to that Damascus where he got the letters from the high priest to persecute Christians. Our Lord Jesus appeared to him, and he saw Jesus. You gotta see Jesus. And from the time that Paul saw Jesus, he was never the same again. He was a totally different man. He met the risen Christ. And the man that was a mad, raving madman changed to a man that had the eyes and the hearts of Jesus. And when he writes to Titus, he tells him in chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "Speak evil of no man." Well, I need to hear what I'm preaching, huh? "Speak evil of no man. Be not contentious, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men." There's our word, all. He tells Timothy the same thing, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. He says, "The Lord's servant," are you the Lord's servant? He said, "The Lord's servant shall not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, forbearing, with meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves, if peradventure God may give them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth." Gentle towards all men. That change was due to the realization of the fact that Jesus Christ died for all. As verse 14 says in our text, one died for all. Jesus, as I said before, he didn't just die on the cross. His whole life was given. He started giving before he ever created man. And he's still giving today. Sits at the right hand of God. Makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. He laid down his life long before he got to Golgotha. Speaks of Jesus in Philippians 2, passage we know well. But he starts it by saying, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We're to see things just like Jesus did, through the eyes of Jesus. Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not to being on equality of God, a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, in the fashion of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death. Jesus knew from the time he came to this earth, he came to die for mankind. You willing to do that? He says the love of Christ constraineth us. 1 John 3:16, hereby we know love, for he laid down his life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. The love of Christ constraineth us. Jesus came here with his eyes to the cross, determined to go to that cross. And all of his life was a sacrificial life for man. You read the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, and he never did anything for himself. Everything he did for somebody else. Passage that always struck me in Luke 9, verse 51. Says, and it came to pass when it drew nigh to the days he would be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. And he steadfastly set his face to go there. And when it draws nigh to the time, John 12 tells us in verse 27, Jesus, knowing that it was imminent his death, he says, now is my heart troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Our Lord Jesus crossed every barrier. He knocked down all the separating walls. Ephesians 2:14. He is our peace who made both one and break down the middle wall of partition. No partition between any man, anywhere. All men are sinners. He tells you in Romans 3, verse 22, the last phrase there, he says, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all equal. All men are equal. No matter what your race is, no matter what your education is, no matter what your wealth is, he died for all. He knocked down all those barriers. He lived for people because he knew why he came. In Luke 4, after his trial, after his baptism, he was led out and he had the trial of Satan. And following that, he goes back to his home in Nazareth. And he goes to the synagogue, which his custom was, and he stood up on the Sabbath day to read, and they gave unto him the book Isaiah. And he found in it the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me because he anointed me to speak glad tidings unto the poor. He sent me to release the captive, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those that are captive and bruised, to proclaim the day of the Lord. He knew why he came, and he never varied from that purpose. He came all the way to give his life for sinful people, and he left nobody out. All. That word throughout this book, huh? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, and you shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, all of you come to me. He ate with the down and the outs. He ate with the publicans. He ate with the sinners. He had no problem in communicating with Samaritans, who was hated of the Jews probably more than the Gentiles. He had no problem communicating with harlots, all those sinners. And all the time, Jesus knew that everybody's going to say, a friend of the publicans and a sinner. But he came to save souls, and he made no discrimination. Wherefore, we henceforth know no man. Is that clock running? Good grief. The no man. We henceforth know no man after the flesh. That no man is the counterpart of the all in verse 14. To violate the no man of verse 16 is to deny the all of verse 14. If you have any distinction between you and anybody, you denied the Christ that died for all. Heavy thought. Any ministry that would discriminate against a single human being is in rebellion to Christ's life and his ministry. And it negates his death for all people. I thought I was going to speak about verse 17 also, but I can't. Discrimination is a cancer. If you haven't seen Jesus, I know you've got discrimination and prejudice in your heart. I know you do. I'm a human being just like you. But those of us that come to Christ and have seen our Lord Jesus with our eyes, there can be no discrimination. This morning, you have the privilege and the opportunity, just like Paul met Jesus on the road, to see Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. Come up here and believe in Jesus. Be baptized. And when you rise up, you're a new man. And from that day on, you see no man after the flesh. Those of us that are in Christ may need to take account of our lives and get them right with Christ. If any way you can be helped by coming into Christ or getting the help of the prayers of the brethren, we're going to sing a song. Stephen will come and sing a song, and you can come forward and let your wishes be known while we stand and sing.